And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Marvelous, Monumental, Most Fascinating, Massively Mind-Bending Monday as we join our hearts and minds as one, drawing closer to the King of Kings and glorifying his name. First, okie dokie. This portion in Job is lights out killer. We are picking it up with Elihu in Job 32:8 in a theological wunderbar moment. God's spirit is connected to God's breath in this passage.
This is going to blow your mind.
We're not going to go down the entire rabbit hole because it's pretty deep. But be aware that the breath of God and the spirit of God can, in different texts, be interchangeable. Very important for you to know. Next, I probably should pass up this next selection, but I can't. It's just quite simple. Verse 9, sometimes the elders are not wise. Sometimes the people who are older are not the smartest people in the room. Sometimes the younger people have a better grasp of what's going on. This isn't all the time, but when it comes to biblical truth and godly wisdom, it's the Holy Spirit that activates, not the age. And finally, for I am pent up and full of words and must speak. Have you ever felt like that? I am pent up and full of words and I must speak. I know I felt that way. It's one of the reasons I became a teacher, a preacher, and a reacher, because the word of truth, the biblical account of truth, sets my insides on fire. Jeremiah said it's like a hammer that wants to smash against the rock. I feel that, and I'm willing to bet you do too.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities. And oy vey. So much more. Hey. We're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can email us during the show, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us live during the show, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us live during the show, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you call that phone number, you will end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid a Dynamite.
Talking to Dynamite D is like spending time with a friend, just relaxing and chillaxing. That's just nice. That's just relaxing and chillaxing.
That's always a blessing, Dave.
Isn't that nice? Just a chill. Just take a deep breath, go.
Can we do that every day?
Yeah, you can. You can especially do it if you spend time with the Lord and go, here I am. Here it is in a nutshell. I just want to make sure everybody gets it. If you've got something that's going on and you've got a prayer request, we want to be able to reach out and touch you with love, with the compassion that Jesus has, with the wisdom that Jesus has. It doesn't mean everything we say and do is perfect. We make plenty of mistakes. Are you kidding? Here's the reality. We can take our faith, put it with your faith, and bring it before the Lord. That's what we want to do. Maybe you got something that happened, and you're just like, I got to share this. You know, I got people I need to tell. This is something that happened. I want to share. Cool. Let's just do that. Share it. You know, it's like it's the opportunity to bless others. Maybe you got something in the back of your mind you want to share. Maybe you got answers to trivia. We'll get to that in a split second, but we do have somebody on the phone, and so what we want to do is give them a chance, see what's going on, see what the Lord is doing. We got no problem if the Lord wants to redirect. I don't care. I don't care if – don't care. It doesn't matter. We want to do what God wants to do. So let's see what happens. Somebody on the phone sent him through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is Rosalyn.
Hi, Rosalyn. How are you?
Well, I could really use some prayer. We've been dealing with, I think, a lot of spiritual warfare recently. And last week, our kitchen sink kind of got clogged, and I was trying everything I could figure out to do. And I just kind of basically had to throw my hands in the air and say, God, I need help. So I kept praying every time I was disassembling something that I wouldn't break something or worse. And then Sunday, you know, God sent us somebody to help. And so that was a huge blessing. We're so grateful for this man, Kelly, that used to go to our church but doesn't go there anymore. And a lady called him, and he came right over. And so he was just such a huge blessing. But I think it's just that with other things happening lately, it's just been a lot of bombardment, and it's just hard. And it, you know, I don't want to get into, I know from things that have happened before, it's sometimes hard to pick yourself up, and you pray and you try, but it's still hard. And I just, I'm in a much better place now, just in my walk with God. And if I don't read my Bible every day, it's like I haven't eaten, and it doesn't work.
That's exactly right.
Stay here with God is what I want.
Now, that's a great statement. Here's, let me say something to you, and I'm going to say this to you, and I want you to hear it. I really do want you to receive it. Listen, you might be going through quite a bit right now, and I know that you're going through, you know, different struggles or whatever, and it might be a lot of attacks against you. But listen, God loves you, and he's going to bring you through this, and he's going to put your feet upon a rock, and you're going to sing an entirely new praise song to his glory and to his honor, and you and your hubby are going to be able to testify of the deliverance that God has for you. What the enemy wants to do is get you to quit and to just be discouraged and to just exist in that darkness, in that dark cloud. But what God wants you to do is look past the cloud. He wants you to look above it, where he is, and recognize your deliverance is coming, and you need to receive that. Just as anybody else prays for you, just as anybody else speaks a word into your life, you need to recognize that God is faithful to his kids, which you know, but you need to say, I hold that in the palm of my hand, and I put that right into my heart, and I say thank you for your faithfulness to me. That's a place to be. So let me pray that that's what the Lord puts in you, okay?
Okay.
Let's do it. Father, I just lift up Rosalyn to you. She is such a blessing. Great sister. One that I am so blessed to have met and to get to know. And I know her and her hubby. You go through it, Lord. You go through it, and there's times where we look up to you, and we go, really? It's just, come on, we need this deliverance. And I know David said it many times in your word, you know, come on, Lord, hurry up, hurry up. But he also said at the end of almost every time, your faithfulness is true. The quality that you have demonstrated in my life on your love and your grace and your mercy, they sustain me. And I just pray that you would put this song in their hearts and minds. They're thankful now, Lord. They're just down. And so what we're asking for is just to replenish the low side and fill it full of joy and expectation that when the deliverance comes for her, when the deliverance comes for her husband, when the deliverance comes for their family, the testimony will be loud and strong. Let her receive that. Let that be a part of her thinking, a part of her feeling, part of her process. That the peace that passes all understanding keep her heart and her mind in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, David. Robert had an academic question. I can, if you have a minute, I'll read it to you, and then when you've got time to answer it.
And Robert's questions are intense, so I mean, I might not be able to answer it on the show, so you can ask me.
Specifically asked that I call the show so that you could answer it for everybody. So he was hoping you'll answer it for everybody. But I'll just read it to you because, yes, you're right. It's a little bit involved. Okay. So the first, and it, but it relates to Job. So, you know, I'm calling on the right day.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the first question. This is the setup. So we know that God cannot be in the presence of sin, right? And that's why he couldn't look on Jesus on the cross when he took on the sins of the world. So if God cannot be in the presence of sin, how could Satan present himself to God in heaven in the first chapter of Job?
Right.
Right.
Yep.
So the assumption is that the Satan didn't, that he walked into heaven and the heavenly court wasn't held somebody somewhere else.
Yeah.
So how, okay. if the devil could enter heaven, is the devil sinless?
Okay.
That's question one.
That's question number one. Okay, hold on. That's question one. Go ahead. Because I have an answer. Go ahead.
Okay. Question two, or you want to answer first?
No. Well, I can. Just, are they connected?
Yes, they're related.
Okay,
so question two. So if the devil was designed to be God's adversary, could the devil just be fulfilling his designed role of being the adversary? So
Being
outside of God's will, is it a sin for the devil to act in his designed role of an adversary? So that goes back to, if the devil is not sinless, how did he approach God's throne?
Okay. Excellent questions, and Robert always has great questions, by the way. So those, for those that do not know, he is intellectual is a nice way to put it. So there's very specific answers. You can hang on, you can hang up, whatever you want to do. I don't mind, because I'm going to answer both of them, and they're both excellent. Okay, so the first thing is, there's a little bit of a misunderstanding in that portion, because they say, well, God can't ever be in the presence of sin. That's not exactly what the communication is. When it talks about God not being in the presence of sin, it means he doesn't live there, not he can never visit there. Because if the Lord is also present and aware of what's going on in hell, being omniscient and omnipresent, which means everywhere, he's highly aware of what's going on everywhere that there is. So this idea that God can never be in the presence of sin is somewhat magnified, because when Jesus came, he was God, but yet he was in the presence of sinners. So that idea is a little over, I don't want to say it's glorified, but it's over-promoted, because not only in Job, which it's a very questionable, actually, it's probably more likely that the presentation between Satan and Job took place on earth, but it could be in heaven, and there's kind of an argument there, but we know for sure in Revelation, Satan's in heaven, and so how could that possibly be? Well, it's not that God cannot be there, it's just that he does not live there or abide there in the presence of evil. So what we've done is we've taken the God can't hang out in the presence of sin and then say, oh, that means God can never connect to it. The reason that you know that what I'm saying is more accurate than not is because when you blow it and you sin, even at any point in your life, even before you make the full acknowledgement of Christ, you turn to God, he immediately responds to you. It's not like he's far away, he's right there. He knows what your sins are, he knows what you did wrong, but he doesn't abide in that iniquity place. It's not that he can never see it. The idea that it was placed upon Jesus and that's why he looked away, the problem with that is the psalm it comes out of later in the verse does not say that. It actually says he looked upon him, not he looked away from him. So that's a secondary theology question, which Robert and I can talk about in the future. But the other part of it, going back to the design part, is Satan, when he first rebelled, he was condemned. So then no matter what takes place after that rebellion, he's condemned. He rebelled. He's the first, as we understand it through Scripture, to do that. Is he sinless? No. Is he condemned? Yes. Is he now just fulfilling every role that God has for him? Absolutely. And when I say absolutely, you know that because he had to ask permission from God to touch Job, and he had to ask permission from Jesus to touch Peter. He can't do any of that without God's permission, and God has him on a leash, and he only does that which God will allow him to do, not one step more or one step less. He is fulfilling that plan, which is ironic, because you get people that are Satanists, and I said this, I think when we were at your house, I said this, who are just like, Satan's going to win, Satan's going to win. Satan can't even leave Earth. That's how limited he is, where God can go wherever he wants. So it just shows you, well, that's just absurd. If he could win, he'd leave. He can't. So he's always doing what the Lord wants because ultimately God's in charge. Does that mean that God wants man to sin? No, but man must make the choice. And God knows what that choice is, but man must still make the choice between what is good and what is bad, or what is righteous and what is unrighteous. So, yes, he's God's flunky. That's the way it goes. Doesn't change in any capacity. In the capacity of God can't be in evil, it's not that he can't see evil. It's not that he doesn't understand evil. It's like the whole premise of eating the fruit is that they would know good and evil like God. So God knows what evil is. It's just he doesn't hang out there, or he doesn't live and abide there. Does it mean that Satan can come in and visit and try? Sure, but the key is that God didn't get up to remove Satan from heaven. He just had Michael do it. It's like he didn't want to, I'm not even getting up. Hey, Michael, go take care of him. Thank you. And so it's just like, you have to understand, if God just said, all things except me evaporated, they would be evaporated. That would be it, okay? He's not going to do that, but could he? Sure. So he didn't have to get up and read. He just said, Michael, go take care of him. Just show everybody you're stronger than he is anyway. And so that's how it ended up. So that question one, God can be there but can't live there. Number two, yes, he is God's flunky. Does that help?
Okay.
You like that?
Thank you. I can't wait to play the replay for Robert when he gets home.
Tell Robert, Audi, love you, brother. Okay.
Well, thank you, David, and thank you for your prayers.
You got it. Love you guys.
We love you, too. Bye, everybody.
Bye. All right, we'll take our break. How much fun was that?
That was a lot of fun.
That was a lot of fun. Take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull-oney. There, that's better. Cowpunchsites.com/dad.
The deterioration of the ecosystem, or creation itself, is definitely the result of man. You say, well, how can you say that? Well, Romans chapter 8, verse 19 through 21. I just read the scriptures. I don't need anything else. The Bible says this: the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself would be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Creation itself is longing for the redemption that comes through Jesus Christ. And until that takes place, it is on a collision course down. The result of the ecosystem or creation itself crashing is a result of man's sin in the garden. So when they say, oh, well, it's not man-made, oh, yes, it is. Of course it's man-made. It's because we messed up in the garden. But I wasn't with Adam and Eve. You were in the person of Adam and Eve. And if you want me to use it, you were in the life-giving force of Adam and Eve. And if you want me to really say it, you were in the loins of Adam and Eve. You were there, too. They stuck their fist up to God and said, nope. And God went, okie dokie, here's the result.
The David Spoon Experience.
Mm-hmm. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. So if you're sitting there saying, well, why aren't you doing the KNSN right now? Dave, you did that before. It's because what we're going to do is simulcast from 1:30 to 2, which will be from 11:30 to 12 there. That's what we're going to do. So we're, and I do want people to know, this is, I will say this, this is sending the spies out. This is a test. This is an experiment. And so Don and I are working together, and then when the board, our board needs to get involved, Deb will be like the first, well, Noelle will be the first person, but then Deb will be the first person that we talk to and review it from, make sure that she sees what we're doing, or not sees, but approves like the direction we're going. We're not going to do it without full approval, so it doesn't matter. So we're just going to take it one step at a time. But right now, there's no obligation to anything going on, so we're going to test the waters. And just like that, I'm going to test you in Bible knowledge. How about that?
That was a nice segue.
That was good, huh? Yeah. You're supposed to do all these segues. You're supposed to do all these really important things, and you're supposed to pause for purpose. Hey, a pause in radio sounds like this.
I don't hear anything, Dave.
Yeah, that's right. It's the dumbest. All right, anyway, let's just move on. Okay, here you go. Ready? All right, who said this? Okay, who said this? Let me die with the Philistines. Who said that? Who said, let me die with the Philistines? I'm just going to say the voice was probably deep. I'm just going to say that. If you think you know, 972-445-0770. So that's the number to call. Somebody is calling in. We got 214-210-8483. That's the number to text. You can still text, right? You probably know. And then David at HeMustIncrease.org. Hold on. I got to check that because I got to make sure my – is it working?
Is the light still on at least?
Yeah, still great. Working. You know, the thing stays – I'm more worried that while I'm looking at my Chromebook that it won't stay up and it'll just fall down. That's the level.
Dave needs a new little computer.
The Chromebooks aren't expensive, but just like – keep going. I'm so cheap. When I have a problem with an electronic, you know, instead of like getting like a new cord or something, I get tape and I do. I'm that guy. I'm just telling you right now. Okay. All right. Who said, let me die with the Philistines? Do you have somebody ready to answer a trivia question? Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hello, David. This is Steven. How you doing today, sir?
I'm doing wonderful, Steven. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine.
All right. I know you're going to know this. I just know in my heart. So I'm waiting. I'm waiting to set it up for you. So here you go. You ready? Who said, let me die with the Philistines?
The strongest man let a little woman trick him to being captured by the Philistines. That had to be tempted.
That is correct, Amunyo! And what an excellent way to say that. So the strongest man whooped by the littlest woman. That is excellent.
But you know what? That may apply to all of us as men. I mean, women, we don't want to say women rule the world, but they definitely have a way with us men.
It's so hilarious. Let me just say this really quickly. Let me just say this, okay? Noelle and I were talking, and I said, you know how the guy is the head of the household in Scripture? And she goes, yeah. I go, but women are the neck. And so the head doesn't move without the neck. And it's like, that's how it goes.
Well, you know what the old saying is? Like the guy told his, was bragging to his friends, and he said, listen, I run things around my house. I run the vacuum cleaner. I run the dishwasher. So that's pretty much what we run around the house.
That's just classic, brother. Your calls are delightful. Thank you, bro. Thanks for dropping that in. That was excellent.
God bless you. Thank you so much. God bless you and your show.
Thank you. Bye bye.
That was Brother Fred.
That's Fred. Yeah. Just so fun.
You can open up a can of worms with that philosophy.
Well, come on now. Come on. Just relax. Everybody relax. Oh, that's offensive. Oh my gosh. What's not offensive?
No, that's not offensive.
When people
you gotta
cut,
laugh sometimes.
You gotta just go, sure. Okay. I just think it's funny because in our family, how we do it, how Noelle, it's like if it's a safety issue, I'm in charge.
pretty much everything else is her call.
Pretty much.
If it's a safety issue, me. Okay, I don't even have any problem.
If there's anything else going on, okay.
It's easier that way. As long as I have my TV, I don't care. All right, I'm going to teach first, then we'll come back. I got to teach this. This is just a brilliant thing. So I want you to look at Job chapter 32. I do have to do teaching, although we did do that in the prior portion. And I'm going to actually pick it up from verse 7 because I still like that run-in from Elihu. He's being very, very honorable. I thought those who are older, this is what he says in Job 32, 7. I thought those who are older should speak, for wisdom comes with age, okay? And we're going to see a little further on. Not always. So here it goes, verse 8. Surely it is God's spirit within people, the breath of the Almighty within them, that makes them intelligent. So let me just show you something that what people will do is they'll make a distinction in many cases, and I'm trying to help here. I'm not trying to create problems. So follow what I'm trying to do. They'll think of God, they'll think of the breath of God separated from the Holy Spirit, but that is not always the case. Okay, and I'm telling you right now so you can look at this passage. It is God's spirit within people, the breath of the Almighty. Sometimes in a passage, the Holy Spirit is the breath of God, right? So why that's important? Well, it's important for 25,000 different reasons. Here's the first reason. Ready? God breathed into man life. So what gave man his animation capacity but the Holy Spirit that was breathed in? Well, that was the breath of God. I understand that. But if you look at that passage, you get to see that the breath of God is interchangeable here with the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, so when you're thinking about the Holy Spirit, thinking, well, is the Holy Spirit God? Is God's breath holy? Is God's breath godly? I mean, it's all you got to do is think about that. Then you take it to the next conclusionary place, which is what I want to do, and that is what? All Scripture is God-breathed. What does that mean? That means that the Holy Spirit directed everybody. This is why this stuff's, when you get into the theology of this, you're just like, oh, we just went to this whole new place in pneumatology. Pneumatology is the study of the Spirit. And you look at it and you go, so sometimes when God breathes on people, as opposed to being breath the way that we think it's breath, it's just the outpouring of, not just, but it's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that takes place. So sometimes when you say, Lord, breathe on me, you're really saying, Lord, just pour your Holy Spirit on him. See, now what you're getting is this, and this is what I hope you're getting. There's a lot more connection there with the Holy Spirit than I was thinking. Yeah, I know that. This is why blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is a big-time no-no. And actually, it's been said, and I don't know if this is accurate or not, but it's a very interesting saying. Jesus said, you can say something against the Father, you can be forgiven. You say something against me, you can be forgiven. You say something against the Holy Spirit, you're gone. And so it's almost like protective nature. It's a very interesting, you know, process. It really makes your brain think. But here's what I want you to get. The Lord will breathe into you life, but that life is, in fact, the Holy Spirit in you. It's like, well, isn't the Holy Spirit in me? Yeah, this is how it goes. And I know people hate this, but it's really, I think it's really excellent illustration. I understand some theologians don't like it. I appreciate that. But when you accept Jesus Christ by faith, the Holy Spirit takes up residency in you. Now, and for some people, the Holy Spirit takes up more residency than others, okay? Like there's an outpouring of the Spirit in the person. So I understand the argument between the baptism and then not the baptism. I get it. I'm not even talking about either one of those. Here's what I am saying. As you grow and develop, you find out that you're yearning for more and more of the Lord. But what you're really in need of is more of His Spirit inside of you, taking up more area, more territory, more categories in your life, which is why the Scripture says be filled with the Spirit. Why would you have to be filled with the Spirit? Because we are not always filled with the Spirit. And some people get upset and say, well, what are you trying to say? He leaks? No, but what you get specifically is that the Spirit gets spent in ministry. We know that because after the disciples did ministry, two chapters later in Acts, they were filled again. If they didn't spend the Spirit, so to speak, they wouldn't have to be filled again. This makes no sense. In other words, this is not logical. It's just absolutely absurd to think in those ways. Stop trying to put it in all these theological boxes. Use the practical teaching. The Holy Spirit strengthens you to walk the walk that Jesus has ordained you to walk, that you said yes to Jesus and He's in your heart by faith. You need to be aware of that. Because when we grieve the Holy Spirit, which is to make sad, we do a poor job of reflecting Jesus. Okay, we need to do a better job. Got it. I absolutely got it. Great call by Fred, by the way. I think I called him Steve in the beginning, didn't I?
You did. That's
all right. I'm old. Leave me alone. All right, we'll take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Today is Have a Bad Day Day. I don't know. Have a Bad Day Day? Somebody had to take the time to name a day a bad day. I don't know.
I think it's also National Men's Day, so that kind of works.
Yeah, okay. Well, there you go. Play Monopoly Day is also a holiday that some people like. And then World Toilet Day.
Okay.
I'm not even going to... Not even close. Not even going to touch that. For those that want to know, this is the stuff I like. This is what you get when you listen to the show. On this day in 1959, the Edsel was discontinued. That might be interesting. But this is what's fascinating. Rocky and Bullwinkle. Rocky and his friends premiered on this day in 1959. See, that's important.
I hated that cartoon.
Did you really hate
Horrible.
That cartoon?
Okay. Horrible.
I liked it. I always thought, you know, the Russians did it. Do you remember when they were going
Natasha
through?
Natasha and Boris.
They were going through this whole thing with Donald Trump and that whole thing, and people kept dropping in these memes with the – it was so funny. I mean, it was some pretty funny stuff. And I will tell you one last thing, and we'll get into the teaching. We'll do trivia in the next segment. I will let you know that my wife and I got into a discussion last night as we were watching television, as we were watching a show, while we're working on stuff together. And I don't have the answer, so I'm going to ask Wonder Julie. And if you call in for a trivia, you might be able to give us the answer. But we're watching a show, and in the show, there's all these people that are skydiving. And then the last guy goes, and I tried to say, well, it looks like he skydived. And then I was like, well, that doesn't sound right, skydived, because that's past tense. And then skydove, and then that didn't sound right. And then skydiven, and that doesn't sound right. Skydivid. That doesn't sound right. Sky div, jump out. I mean, what is the past tense of skydived? It just seems weird. It seems like it's a weird. Do you have any idea what it is?
I don't know. I never would jump out of a perfectly good airplane.
It was one of those things we looked at each other and laughed because we're like, I don't even know the answer to this. My English is so bad. I can't even figure out how to give me the past tense. I mean, sky dove, but it just seems like a weird word. Maybe it's me. That's what happens when they experiment with you when drugs, when you're like 1 year old. Try this on him. That was me. All right, let's go into Romans chapter 5, verse 3. Poor Wonder Julie's going, what happened to you? Nothing. It's the same idiotic me.
Hey, I leave you alone for one day, and the wheels come off.
Yeah, the wheels on the bus go round and round. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Here's your next trivia question. This is a good one. This is a good one. Who said, what is truth? Who said to Jesus, what is truth? Good one. If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Going to send you up to the website, tell you two things. There is the prayer form and the praise form that's on the website. So if you want a prayer request and you don't want to call the show but you want somebody praying for you, please check it out. Fill it out. It's not complex. We don't sell it to anybody or do anything. We were the only people that see it. And then also for praise, if you want it to be read for you, we'll be glad to do that. As well, on the website is an opportunity to partner with us and become a part of what we're doing. And if you guys have listened to the show, you know we're doing it. We're just doing, I mean, it might be weird.
I like that, Dave. Yeah, we're doing it, though.
We're doing it. It's a little different, and we reach different people. Then again, if you're listening, that probably makes you a little different. So we'll just leave that alone. Check it out on the giving opportunity. Don't forget 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 7, which says, whoever sows sparingly reaps sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully reaps bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly and not under compulsion. The one thing I can't stand is the manipulation. You give? Great. If you're going to give, have the right spirit and the right attitude. If you're not going to have that, don't give. At least not to us. I mean, I don't want it.
Not going to haggle you.
I don't want sad money. I want money that will help the kingdom. God loves a cheerful giver. Check it all out on HeMustIncrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
Yeah, there it goes. You know what I think of when I think of hear that? So I think of all these different things. But about a couple years ago, there was this little ice freeze that happened in Texas. You remember that?
I remember that one.
Okay, and so I tried to get down to the station, and that didn't work out. So I had to actually turn back and go to my house. And everything was fine. It was a little slippery. So I got out of the car to open up the garage, and I stepped out to open up the one side of the garage because Noah was going to have to park on the other side. And I slipped right on my bum, right.
You've had a couple little slipsy doodles.
I'm just amazed. And when I hear that sound, I think, yeah, I remember that. That's how I process things, people. What do you want? All right, let's do one more time on the triv question. Who said to Jesus, "What is truth?" I wonder how he said it though. You know, like, "What is truth?"
That's more gangster. Interesting little voice.
That's like a gangstery.
Yeah, a little raspy.
This is what is truth. Okay. I'm working on it. Give me the pierogies.
What a mafia thing.
Yeah, I'm off on it today. This is great. I get to do a joke with the history. Let's do history.
Let's go living in the past. Let's go living in the past.
All right. This is great. So today is Tell an Old Joke Day.
This is your time. Your time to shine.
I mean, this is just, right? Here it is. Ready? Every 10 years, the monks in the monastery are allowed to break their vow of silence to speak two words. 10 years go by, and it's one monk's first chance. He thinks for a second, and then he says, "Food bad." 10 years later, he says, "Bed hard." It's a big day, a decade later after that, and he decides enough's enough, and he goes, "I quit." And the head monk goes, "Well, I'm not surprised you've been complaining since you got here." Come on. Okay. That's a little funny.
I was going there with you. I was going to miss the audience.
All right. National Drive-Through Day. Thank the Lord Almighty that because we have cars, there are still drive-throughs. Yep. I like that. Lumberjack Day. A little bit of Monty Python there, if people can remember that. King James VI became King of Scotland at age 1. Somehow that just seems wrong.
King James.
King James VI became King of Scotland at age 1. Well, I know there's somebody that's called King James who acts like he's 1, but I just can't believe that that's okay. Then 1969, Apollo 11 put the man on the moon, splashed down safely in the Pacific Ocean in 1969 on July 24th. And then 1979, Karol Yastrzemski, the Yaz, hit his 400th career home run at Fenway Park. Classic baseball player. Okay, let's go back to the text. We have our trivia question. Who said, "What is truth?" If you think you know the answer, give us a call, 972-445-0770. You also text in 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Back to the text in verse 9. So I want to be careful with this, but I want it's scripture. So you don't have to be totally clear. I'm just trying to be respectful, so to speak, sometimes. Verse 9 in Job chapter 32. So Job 32, verse 9. Sometimes the elders are not wise. This is like, okay. Alrighty then. Sometimes the aged do not understand justice, so listen to me and let me express my opinion. I've waited until this time, listening very carefully to your arguments, listening to you grope for words. I've listened, but not one of you has refuted Job or answered his arguments. And don't tell me he's too wise for us. Only God can convince him. If Job had been arguing with me, I would not have answered with that kind of logic. So let's just stop right there, okay? I love that there are younger and older people, okay? Don't misunderstand. And some people who are older have absolutely brilliant insights. But not every time is an older person right. So if you were raised in a Jewish family and you were presented with the gospel and your Jewish family told you that is wrong, they would be wrong. In other words, you don't listen to them because that's not wrong. They are not wise in that proclamation. When you are dealing with somebody and somebody speaks out of hurt, whether if they're older or pain or something like that, that is not always going to be the wisest answer. Now, it is important to grasp that older people have an extraordinary amount of wisdom. And in our society, though, we don't do as good a job as like some other societies do a much better job honoring those who are older. And I think that's very important. And honor your parents is very important. Honor those that went before you, very important. To honor, the word actually honor in the Hebrew means to be in consideration of. So that makes it completely different. It does not say, where it says obey your parents, like in the New Testament, that's not what it says in the Ten Commandments per se. So I'm just making sure you understand that. So it's to be in consideration of, to make sure that you value with great weight those that are leading you with what it is they have to say. But it doesn't mean you always do what they say. If it did, I wouldn't be a Christian. And that would not be wise. So there's a what's the word I'm looking for? There's a degree to which we honor and we respect and we follow. But you have to remember something as an individual. Even those that are older than you do not always make the right statements or the wise statements. And in fact, anybody that tells or encourages somebody to direct away from God, I don't care if they're 119, anybody who says that is not wise. All advice that points you to justifying God and not yourself, that's wise. And sometimes the younger people have a better grasp on what's going on. A perfect example, and then we'll kind of get off this, a perfect example is simply this. In the church today, young people do a better job than older people of spotting a phony. And you can be mad, you can be upset with me. I just think that young people have seen so, not all of them, but people and young people in the church today, I remember interviewing this one guy for a movie, and we were talking, and he told me, he said, when I walk into a church, he goes, I just know. And he must have been 20 years my junior. And you know what? I knew he knew exactly what he said. He was right. And we're a little more giving, a little more, you know, but you know what? That perspective is a good perspective. Got to take that into account. Elihu's case, he's just like, okay, you three guys, not so bright. But he said it nicer, okay? At least he was respectful. Just said, it's not always the right way, your way. All right, somebody's ready to answer a trivia question. Send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hello, this is Dr. Jesse.
Hey, Dr. Jesse. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
All right, here we go. I know you're going to get it. I got your text, so I know you're going to get it. Who said, what is truth?
That was in Latin, Pontius Pilatus, Pontius Pilate.
That is correct, Amundo!
Awesome.
Now, I don't know what kind of accent he said it with, so that's the part I'm having a hard time with, because, you know, being in that position, he probably had a more heavy voice than not, you know, being one of those guys who probably went, what is truth?
Well, you know, kind of, go ahead. I'm sorry, I'm no linguist, But I did actually teach medical terminology from the Latin and Greek origins. So, and I've read a little bit in the learning about Latin, and so it's very similar to Spanish. So he would have said it something like, quid es veritas.
Yeah, good. I like that. I like that. Now do that with a deeper voice.
Quid es veritas.
Perfect. That's it. That's it right there. Because I think when you're in those positions, you have to talk deeper to get the respect. I mean, you can't talk like this. It wouldn't really help him. So I'm going to go with that.
Very good point.
Excellent job, bro. Very, very good. Appreciate it.
All right. Awesome.
All right. God bless you, man. Thank you for making the show a blessing. That was good.
Wonderful. God bless y'all, too. And we'll talk to you again soon.
All right. You got it. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's good. He's got it down, but he just got to go the deeper.
That was great. I love that voice. Now you're hitting on the deeper. Now Dave, what if he didn't have a deeper voice?
And you can't be a Roman Roman centurion to talk like this because it's really not going to work. I'm just telling you right now. Okay,
he'll fit in nowadays.
I'm telling you. I'm telling you. Okay. All right. We'll take a break and then come back. Listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I have wondered about him. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He's married to his best friend Noel, has 3 children, 6 grandchildren, and a dog named Bert. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations, and is a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theological studies, and has his doctorate of strategic Christian ministry. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people will have to listen to find out.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple. And there's 3 ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media. And on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section. And it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video, but you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Here's what it says. The sure way to avoid criticism. To avoid criticism, the article says, say nothing, do nothing, be nothing. That was said by a successful and innovative coach of the Philadelphia Flyers hockey team. Now, that's not the only reason I'm reading the article, not because it's just a hockey team coach thing, but here's what it says. Number one, say nothing and become the unwitting victim of everybody else's opinion or point of view. 2, do nothing and just watch life from the sidelines. 3, when our voices remain silent and our actions still, we are nothing.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Here's your last trivia question. Which of the 12 disciples said, Why was this ointment not sold for money and given to the poor? Actually, because they're all a little bit just, why wasn't this ointment sold for money and then given to the poor? That's probably actually how that probably went. That was probably a little closer right there. If you think you know the answer, you can call in if you dare. Call in 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email to david@hemusincrease.org, which the 12 disciples says, why was this ointment not sold for money and given to the poor? Which disciple do you think said that? That's the question. If you think you know the answer, Eric made a really good point. So we're going to have to change a couple of our intros, a couple of our fills, but we're not going to do that until we get through this testing period. We're not going to do anything until we get through the testing period, because then once you get through it and you figure out we're going to go forward, if that's what happens, then we'll kind of start making alterations. So you guys are going to have to put up with a little bit. Listen, I have to put up with something. You got to put up with something. We all do. That's part of it. All right. That's a trivia question. Do you have somebody ready to answer a trivia question? Cool. Send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Oh, this is your little brother who would not go away.
Hello, little brother who will not go away. How are you?
Very good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I am doing great, and I thank you for asking me. So let me ask you the question, then you can answer it. Ready? All right. Get ready. Ready?
Sure.
Why wasn't this ointment sold for money and then given to the poor? Who said that?
Hunter.
What?
Hunter.
Stop that.
Okay, no, I mean Judas Priest.
That is correct, I know! Judas Iscariot. Yeah, I heard you. I just wasn't going to say. How you doing, brother? How are things?
I don't know why I'm having a really bad headache.
Well, yeah. I'm just going to ask you, did you take some aspirin?
No, I'd rather take a Jesus pill.
There you go. That's you know what kind of pill that is? That's a Goss pill.
Yes.
A Goss pill. There you go.
Yes.
That's the
I
best.
Have a question for you, brother.
Okay.
While you are a doctor. Hey, what's the difference between when Bible says, especially in the book of Revelation, it says sometimes it's indicated as a end time, and other time it's the last days. So, there should be a difference, significant.
But not a significant. It's not a significant. So the end times and the latter days. So, in a theological mindset, they point towards the same direction. End times means closer to the end of it all. Latter times are close, like the beginning of the end times kind of thing. So you might think of latter times as the step into the end times, and the end times is the finality.
So you're saying that Latter-day Saints,
You know I'm not. you know better than that. That's bad.
I know, but like lately it's just was...
Well,
you
have to keep it.
That there should be a difference, because why the same author has to use two different terminology, or maybe it's a translation error or something got lost in translation.
Yeah, it could actually be both. That's ironic that you should say that. So it can be. Now, it is not that uncommon, really, for the New Testament authors to use two different phrases to say the same thing. So that really is not that weird, but... when we talk about latter times, a lot of the people think that latter times are things that are post the first ascension, okay? Like the ascension, but prior to the actual second coming. But that's a stretch, I think. I think what the reference is all towards the end. I think there might not be a difference depending on the context. And so whenever you're reading a translation, even if it's different from another translation, the biggest thing to follow is what are the three or four lines before of it and three or four lines after it. And that's really how you get the best the best answer to what it's heading towards. The biggest thing to remember is that the scripture is by far the best commentary on scripture. Never forget that. So it doesn't matter what one commentary says or what group says or this says this. It says, that doesn't matter. What matters is what the Bible says about what the Bible says. That's the most important thing. That makes
good.
Sense?
Well, thank you for your explanation. You're a real doctor.
Well, I don't know about that, but if you take two aspirin and call me in the morning, I still won't answer. So if that'll help you.
thank you, brother.
All right. God bless you, bro.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. So definitely a fun show. Right?
Very fun.
That was very fun. So, and I'm going to reteach this one thing on Job. I just want to say it, and I want you to just hear it real quickly. Let me just read it. And I'll reteach it like next week because I really want to get into it. But in verse 18, he said, I'm pent up and full of words, and the spirit within me urges me on. Verse 20, I must speak and find relief. There are times in your life where you have to say something. Okay, it just has to be said. I just can't hold it back anymore. Now, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet, which means it shouldn't be disorderly. It shouldn't be, doesn't need to be rude. Doesn't need to be with a megaphone. But sometimes inside of you, there's something that burns, and it's inside you, and it burns for a reason. And much of that has to do with the Lord trying to move it from inside of you to outside of you. That is not the case when you just want to tell somebody off. That is the case when we're talking about biblical truth that God will not let you escape from. It just keeps banging at your insides like a hammer banging against a rock, and you just got to say something. You can't find relief. I feel that way a lot personally in doing this ministry, and so I have to say it, and then I say it, and I don't feel the same level of burden with it. That is a truth for many, 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 many people. Okay? All right. Fun show. Thank you for joining me. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. Taking a 22.5-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.